will do is we will read a sacred text from the Bhagavatam. Gaur Krishna has it on his mobile telephone. Then we will discuss it as if two Vaishnavas sit together and discuss the text. And at the end, we will be able to ask some questions. The format of this is we can go up till, 9:15 at most. That's 9:30. Some of us have to be in the car to drive away. Fine, so let us quickly do what you would like to sing. Should I sing? Good, good.
Like you, I sing every day.
Yes, good, good. We have a Madanga player. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Dhyana Vallabha Giri Varada Ji. O Gopi Dhyana Vallabha Giri Varada Ji. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chaji. Yamuna Tira Vana Chaji. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Se Radhe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. A little fast on the Sanskrit. Please pay attention. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita rit saroja.
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita rit saroja.
Ase shutek shita pato nanunata pungsam.
Ase shutek shita pato nanunata pungsam.
Yat yat diyata ulugaya bi vibhavayanti.
Yat diyata ulugaya bi vibhavayanti.
Tat tat vapu pranayase satanugrahaya.
Tat tat vapu pranayase satanugrahaya.
Would you like to chant the Sanskrit also?
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hit saroja.
Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hit saroja.
Ase shutekshita pato nanunata pumsam.
Ase shutekshita pato nanunata pumsam.
Yad yad yata urugaya vibhavayanti.
Yad yad yata urugaya vibhavayanti.
Tatad vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya.
Tatad vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Someone of you?
Vam bhakti yoga paribhavita
krit saroja.
Vam bhakti
yoga paribhavita krit saroja. Yadya diyata urugaya vibhavayanti.
Tatat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya.
Tatat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya.
Translation. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Yeya tamang prapatyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse it is particularly mentioned Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one becomes engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word Shrutekshita. The Shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. I thought the last part of the purport, when you are, if you can read that, because from this point on, this attachment of the devotee.
This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord, eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulated devotional service to the Lord. And thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Svarupa Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form of the pure devotee desires. I'll read that again. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or unauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samadvitaha. Rather, by yoga maya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee was free from all tinges of material infection.
Yes. Once again, the verse. We can sing it together if you wish, so that in one go. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsaroja aseshu tekshita pato nanunata pungsam yad yad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vapu prayana se sadanugraya. Translation. Please read along. Oh my Lord, your devotees can in the sense of follow the thing. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskajane Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are doing, both of us are doing this for the first time together. So I suggest to get us going is we each share with each other and the audience what we draw out of this text, perhaps what points struck to us, what we would like to give special attention to. Then we can ask each other questions or discuss particular points. Would that be fine?
I think? Sounds good.
Good. So, Maharaj, I saw you, I know you're very thoughtful, and I think that's why the devotees in this area appreciate you so much. Please do share what, how does this verse speak to you? What do you get out of this?
I'm going to turn towards you. Is that okay?
To first me?
No, I'll
turn. Acha. Yes. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So you are with us?
Yes.
Not that we talk and lose you. It's for you mostly. Yes.
This is a dream come true.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
I mean, I was a child when you were kindly first yourself enjoying Krishna consciousness and then sharing your joy that you have found in Krishna consciousness with all of us. I was just a child. You were an idol.
How young? 16 or so?
Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know. Yes.
And here I am. I'm having a conversation with you. So, I'm slightly starstruck.
No, please. I'm a very ordinary person.
This reminds me of a scene in the Life of Brian movie, if you watched it. Every Messiah says he's no Messiah. just a joke. So I just wanted to say it's a privilege and I'm slightly starstruck. of in regards to the verse in the purport we just read, this is the basics of Krishna consciousness. We have two things here. We have the Lord, we have the devotee. We have the Lord that's in the heart of a devotee. And we have a Lord that's so kind that appears in a way that responds to the loving propensity of a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada here keeps repeating that the Lord is so kind because of this. And that's also stated in the verse. And this is, you obviously know, this is not the first time or the only time that this has been mentioned. This has been mentioned God knows how many times. Often mentioned that this is one of the aspects of great kindness of the Lord, to appear in a form suitable to the particular type of affection that devotee has. And I mean, the other day I was speaking about the nature of love, basically the whole spectrum, love all the way to prema. And there's great fear that Dostoevsky pointed out, great fear that it called hell, namely inability to love. It's horrible enough not to be loved, but it's way, I mean, that's really bad, that if no one loves you. That's really bad. But even way worse than that, like incomparably more bad, is to lose the ability to love.
Wonderful.
I mean, there's some devotees I really value and appreciate because of their ability. They love. I mean, the service we do, it's all expression of love. Like, often we're told, do service and you're saved or whatnot. You'll develop your Krishna consciousness. But that service is ultimately should be an expression of love, of affection. And I mean, all devotees have that, but some devotees really excel. They're my heroes. And and I myself have asked myself, I mean, how they do it? How they're so happy to work? And few times I felt, okay, like I want to love, to serve. I want to, like, I really want to feel affection for devotees, for everyone. I mean, which is ultimately Krishna consciousness. And so if you have noticed how difficult it might be to love, then you can really appreciate the fact that the Lord appears in a form that's suitable to the nature of your affection, so that it draws your affection.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful. I have two reflections on what you said and what you repeated from the text. Once Tulsidas, the author of one of the two works on Lord Rama, which is very famous, had heard that in Kali Yuga the Lord is visible and present, visibly present in Jagannath Puri. So with this information, he who was a Ram Bhakta, who had this inclination to love Ram, came to Puri, but he was so disappointed when he did not see Lord Ram with a greenish complexion and a bow on the altar, but Lord Jagannath with big eyes and black complexion. He was so disturbed in his mind that he just quickly came and then went out of the temple with tears in his eyes. That's not the Lord whom I worship. And went into a village 6 kilometers away from Puri, Hungary. So Subhadra, on that night, this is how the katha goes, turns to Jagannath and says, you said that anyone who comes to your temple will be fed by you. This devotee came, he cried because he worships Ram, but you are Ram, but you didn't feed him. This is a very big character fault. You have broken your promise. So Lord Jagannath had to sit with that. In the evening, he took his own plate on which the different items were for the evening meal. And he changed into the form of a golden Brahmana boy, and he went to that village where Tulsi Das slept or tried to sleep. He was hungry, he couldn't sleep, and said, here is some food for you. Oh, said Tulsi, from whom? From the one whom you left. Who is that? Well, said the Brahmana boy, I'm coming from Lord Ramachandra. He was on the altar and you came, but you were so disturbed in your mind and so easily deceived, you didn't see him. And he said, you should first eat now, then you should sleep, and then the next morning you should come again to the temple and look again, so that you don't overlook him on the altar. With this, and bring the golden plate along with you. With this, the Brahmin boy, who was none else than Jagannath, put the golden plate down and went away. Tulsi Das did as he was told, and in the morning, when he came into the mandir, into the temple, he saw that there where Lord Ram was, no, sorry, Lord Jagannath was, there stood his beloved Lord, the Lord whom he worshipped, the Lord to whom he was inclined, Lord Ram with the bow, and so on and so forth. So from that day on, you can see, on Ramachandra's appearance day, we dress Lord Jagannath as Ramchandra, and in the Berlin temple we do it. We make his face green, we put bows and arrows next to him, commemorating that, yes, the Lord appears in that form in which his devotee is particularly inclined. So thank you very much for your illustration, but you brought something new to the text, and this is what I very much appreciate. You spoke about what type of love the Lord must experience to do this, and what type of love devotees experience, and just something else came to my mind. Yesterday I talked to a devotee and I was surprised how much the talk moved me. It was with our dancer Anuradha, who told me that she learns dancing in Vrindavan and stays there, but then comes, I think for 6 months or so, back to the West to Split. And every day she goes to the Riva, that's a place where tourists hang out and just lie in the sun to get some suntan and bathe in the Atria. And there she dances. You put on perhaps your dancing dress also?
Yes, but
simplified dancing dress, and dances and explains to those who want to know about Krishna consciousness. That's her her an expression of her service mood. She wants to also do service. And just like we have one here who is doing service as a clown, traveling, he's booked out the entire year. We wanted him to come to the Ratha Yatra and do his presentation from the stage in Berlin, but he said, "I'm sorry, I'm booked out already. Next year I can come." So that's, but it's service to Krishna. And I was yesterday, when I thought of the example of these two devotees who serve him out of they understand, I have to serve, I just can't keep this all in my life. Then I thought, wow, you are my examples in devotional service. No one told them, they don't have to do this. There's no authority behind him, temple president or zonal secretaries or whoever who tells them or requests them. It comes from their own volition, and that is I have the greatest respect for such devotees. Even though their path is different, they are not distributing, doing these classical things, distributing books. Actually, they distribute books also, but not, you know, like we used to do with here, please, and so on. Very, very nice. This. Yes, but our Maharaj is giving a point to us here that about love and the Lord loving us so much that he comes according to our. Prabhupada even says here the demand of the devotee. He says not everyone can demand the devotee, but and the devotee responds, of course. So thank you. That was a very nice point. I wanted to ask you, Maharaj, you have traveled in America also, where you were holding leadership positions and also doing a novel kind of preaching, attracting many souls, and you are now here. So you have seen a lot of devotees and so on. I'm always very curious to speak with devotees about the realistic path that they can take to come to this level of love. What are your thoughts about this? I mean, we have these high ideals and high texts, and we need to now somehow bring them to the human experience of devotees born in South Europe, and then making advancement from wherever they are and moving forward on the path of Krishna conscious development. So what are you observing? Does it work well? Do the devotees need to become aware, perhaps, of something they are not yet aware? When does it work? When does it not work? What to do with devotees who are 30 years in Krishna consciousness but doubt still basic things? How can we help them? And like, what is your take on how to land this in the human experience, this high subject?
Okay, that's a serious question. Very serious question. I mean, there's this very old question, you know, people wondered about affection, because at times it seems to be something automatic. Almost like you have no control over it, affection. And yet, here we are in Krishna consciousness, we want to cultivate a particular kind of affection. And then the way we sometimes can do it may appear to be very contrary to the nature of affection. And then the experience is very unpalatable. It's like a mouthful of sand.
Yeah.
And if anyone identifies that with Krishna consciousness, then they don't want it. And it's not something that person would have a control over it. It's an automatic reaction. That's just how feelings work. That's the sand in the mouth? No. In the introduction to Krishna book, Prabhupada's a really a treasure house of challenging statements. In a good way. I'm not saying this because I'm a follower, but I'm really impressed, like with Prabhupada's width or depth or height, whichever way we want to put it. But in the introduction to Krishna book, Prabhupada says that this book will be attractive to devotees. But because it's a story of love between a man and a woman, divine though, will be attractive to those who are not devotees. I mean, what a statement. Very often we would say, no, don't do that. Prabhupada had many, I don't know how much devotees know, but he had many radical ideas. Like he wanted to make Hare Krishna dolls and make him popular, like the Barbie dolls. You know, some or other triggered the affection with people. So that is the challenge. And in regards to this, with my analytical mind, I would put this into two categories. Like there are things that an individual could or should do, and then what a group could or should do to help the individual, whether the individual is a devotee or not. Well, let's leave what individual could do, expand too much.
Yeah. What can the group do?
Yeah. What could a group do, which now turns into the missionary domain of the mission? What could a group do to trigger that kind of response within an individual? And then here we have different types of individuals. We have individuals who are not familiar and are not close to Krishna consciousness. Then we have those who are, and we have those who have been, but have grown a bit stale. If I recall your question. Okay. Because of Srila Prabhupada and because of devotees like yourself, I have also at some or other, and I don't know why, have inherited a missionary urge. And in the beginning, I wasn't thinking very much. But then when you start to not have much of a result, then you're forced to think. And then over the years, what I have found in regards to communicating with those who are not interested yet in Krishna consciousness, I found that this is just me, totally subjective. What works the best is to have fun in Krishna consciousness and have fun bringing it to others in fun ways. Like yesterday, I don't know about others, but I had a lot of fun. I mean, I'm just too bad the physical body is so limiting. So that's a fun way. It's fun, and it's fun to bring it to others like that. And if we manage to also interpret all of these events and our messages with a good solid logic, I found that to be a good formula.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. We met this morning very briefly on our way to the Fushkagora, to this place, and I shared with you a statement which I have heard from Keshava Maharaj. He said that Prabhupada once said, preaching is very simple. Just show them how happy you are. And in the end, I want to join people who are happy, because then I might also become happy. And I don't want to be with people who are unhappy, because then I might also become unhappy, or my own unhappiness might be, aggravated, multiplied, and augmented. Yes, yes. So that is definitely. Definitely, yeah. We have these words, blissful, blissed out, and so on. But yes, we need to help our devotees to experience this, and that will become will be a good atmosphere for them.
Typically, when an idea to me came to do something, it was something that, I mean, this may perhaps sound like contaminating, but it was something that I liked to do. Like, it was really fun. Anuradha likes to dance. Why not? Yeah. Like, dance away for Krishna.
Yeah.
And so we would have fun doing the missionary things, and typically people would join in.
I still meet people. By the way, just yesterday I met someone who saw us at the Gauranga Bhajan band concerts way back in the land of Czechoslovakia, and he remembered from the whole concert that at one stage I used to. The members of the band had allowed me to be as joyful as I felt during the concert, and sometimes I would take my shudder and whirl it around. And
you remember?
and that alone brought so many, that created an impression. I was not always so happy with it, because I thought we worked so hard on our presentations, good slideshow, I mean, with 9 projectors, complex musical patterns at the last part, and so on. And then when we had these questionnaires to our audience, which said, what part of the program did you like most? And they would write, very often, Mr. Smiley. And I thought, well, the point is correctly taken. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, there are many different things to do. Like, once we had an idea to farm.
Yeah.
And we brought the, we divided the farming cycle into sessions. then people would come and join in these sessions, and they would learn the whole cycle of growing, which ends with saving seeds, which you use it to. And one day, like one day, we had one day dedicated to weeding. You know what weeding is?
Yeah.
Pulling weeds. And I was thinking, who's going to come for that? And it was 30 people came to weed.
Yes, to create creative ways for
our... build a house one day. Like
really?
Build a house out of a mud. And we invited, and people paid to, you know, for the materials and everything, and they were with us, and then we took prasadam and talked.
Wow. Thank you. This is a wonderful... Can you see? What do you like to do for Krishna? What would be something that, fun is one way, modern way to express, but what would incite you and bring the best out of you? Krishna, For me it was, for a long time, dancing for Krishna. Now I'm no longer doing so, becoming a little older, so on. Good, this is a very nice answer, no? The group, what can the group do for the individual to grow? Well, it can devise wonderful opportunities where everyone can engage.
There are people with different types of attractions. Like there are people who are intellectually, for example, very cerebral, intellectual people.
Yeah.
For them, perhaps building house would not be out of mud, would not be awfully too attractive. But there are intellectual things you can do. So there's really, it's a huge spectrum.
I have another question to you. Thank you. It is. Can you all see the value of this answer? Very, very valuable. And I'm just looking outside. I see now, for instance, in Split, there is finally, after a long time of waiting, a wonderful a temple, and our older and experienced devotees feel somehow very inspired to share Krishna consciousness, and that might be a good inspiration for you to take home with. To create these different fun, inspiring or enthusiastic, inspiring programs to help different devotees in growing.
Once we open a nightclub, a Hare Krishna nightclub. and at this time, the Facebook proliferated. Before that, it was the MySpace. But then, a friend, a girl from elementary school, she discovered me. We were friends, and there it stated that I had a nightclub. And she said, "Oh, you did well. You own a nightclub." it's still going on. It's been now, I don't know, 15, 20 years.
We made
success.
We also took a few, creative licenses. Once we, for many years actually, we had this program where we would rent two big sailing ships. One was called Lord Lorien. The other was called the Tolkien. They were made up in that Lord of the Rings style, these sailing boats. And one could, on one we had 70 passengers, and on the other
50. So we were sailing with these Lothlorien and Tolkien sailing boats over the Northern Sea. It's called, I think, the Northern Sea, and then you have the Baltic Sea, both of these oceans on German's coasts. And Kadamba Kanana Maharaj joined us, I think, once or twice, and the years, and then we would offer yoga programs on the boat, and then because so many people came to the harbors where we landed, we did yoga programs and kirtan programs in the harbors, and adventurers came, they jumped from high up, and one almost lost his arm when he landed, and there were some few things like this, but it made a lot of devotees. So Maharaj, I want to now ask you a question that feel free to answer it to the extent where you wish to answer it. This question will steer us into the controversial ocean of ISKCON opinions. What I perceive is in ISKCON two energies. One you could call conservative, which wishes to keep ISKCON in the way it used to be instituted by Srila Prabhupada, just exactly like that. And this, these devotees are, I think, afraid that we might lose everything that Prabhupada gave us if we are introducing things that were not there in Prabhupada's time. We have this, and then we have the other
drag queen.
Preachers like perhaps Raghunath with wisdom of the sages, who really feel that this old model worked in a certain historic time, but we need to acknowledge that people change and expand this, and there is constant tension. Yeah, there's not a dialogue. This is done in the form of tension, this discussion or critique by both sides. I also have seen there is a, let us call it, old energy, and there is something like a different energy. Because I'm more on the side of the innovators and creators, I would call it the new energy. So would you, without, we don't want to address names, we don't want to address too much sections in our society, perhaps the leadership like GBC and so on. We just want to deal with it on a perhaps sociological level and see what is going on there in that field. I think it is interesting because I see amongst us devotees who, I mean, they come to you who feel something must change, otherwise we will not even keep our own members. There's a lot, like I had many discussions like this. So please speak on this a little.
Thank you. It's something I was forced to think a lot about. As I think, like yourself, I have my svabhava is of a creative nature, and I think that's that's a mistake that someone could make, to identify one's svabhava with spiritual advancement. In other words, by the very nature of a person, one could be more or less creative. Less creative a person is, more conservative they are. And so in the society you'll always find that there's conservative people and they thrive in the conservative element. More the complexity is reduced, more they thrive. Like people who like to be uniformed, they thrive in uniformity. It gives them strength. But if you put a creative person in this environment, they'll dry, they'll die. That's me. I also have a good, solid, conservative element. But, yeah. And to identify that a particular, to insist that a particular nature is equal to spiritual advancement, I think is a terrible mistake. And I don't think it's found anywhere in the Shastra. As a matter of fact, in the Shastra it is stated that one should never mess with one's own svabhava. Like, for example, you should never do other people's duty. The term is dharma. You should not do other people's nature. That'd be a very, very, thank you, very direct translation. Mm-hmm. I'll just move the electronics away. thank you. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that that this conservative and liberal elements are, throughout history, have been found everywhere because God created people
differently.
differently. And there's a whole spectrum of people. And there are people who are really far out there and really far out there. But if we were to take if we were to zoom out and look at the situation, pull ourselves out of the situation, what we would see is that you have two forces that are balancing each other. Because the creative force is destructive by its nature. So is the conservative. It's destructive by its nature. If you amplify it enough, if you allow it to go in its own direction all the way. And so one balances the other.
Would you be so kind to... That's a very interesting idea. On its own, each one could be destructive.
Yeah, they need each other to remain in the game of existence.
Would you care to tell us how each one is destructive when it goes to the... to the extreme, so to say?
Yeah. Monty Python, they were really good at this. yeah. Like, they would take an ordinary thing and then amplify it. And then when you amplify it, you see the ridiculousness of it. So if you want to understand the nature of something, where it's going, like, you just amplify it. Shastra does this with exaggerations. Yeah. We call them... Krishna Kshetra Swami is not here, he's an academic. There's an academic term for it.
Yeah.
Why amplify it? Because then it becomes obvious what it is. So if we were to amplify, let's say, creativity or the liberal thing, we would have nothing. Because it's a constant creation and constant change.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And people who are really, really creative, I mean, they're almost channeling something that other people cannot perceive. But these people who are really, really creative, they often burn out, historically speaking. Whether creative in thought, in art, in music, they typically need other people to be conservative for them in order to maintain something. Money, social relationships. So creative elements is destructive if it's allowed to go all the way. Too liberal, like always change, always. At the end, you have nothing. And then the conservative element, it wants to reduce, wants to conserve. But Krishna himself says, when Arjuna asks, what is this world? I think that's the 8th chapter. Krishna says, it is the ever-changing realm.
It's the ever-changing
realm.
Realm, yes, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No problem.
I'm very good. Yeah. It's an ever-changing realm. And so, and you insist on being conservative. I'll give one example of the old English. So, Bible was, you know, initial Bibles were written in old English. And as the English changed, no one spoke that English anymore. But these people insisted on being authentic. Like, this is the first, don't change anything, nothing should be changed. They're losing customers left and right. I don't know, have you... I had a Ganguly's Mahabharata. Ganguly's translation of Mahabharata. Yeah. Said to be one of the best translations. And it's written in this archaic English. Yeah. My mind was hurting reading it. Because it's used to the flow of English, modern English language. And I couldn't read it. I mean, I picked it up time and time again just to put it back. It was just a violence on my mind. But I mean, the message is important, man, not the language that conveys it. And so they were losing customers left and right. But we know that Christianity has a wide spectrum from like very conservative to very, very liberal, very, very creative. And in this way, the Christian message still maintained. So one challenges the other because one perceives the other one as a threat and yet they coexist. So they one challenges the other. And in this way, one prevents the other from going off the
cliff.
Off the cliff. This is just historically speaking, and I can see how that's also
playing out here.
Yeah. I'd say that the unfortunate thing might be a lack of civilized communication. That's a different story.
Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Very, really. I'm very. I'm not saying it to have a good program, also, but it's very enlightening. Can you see these two poles and why they are there? Yes, I liked your example of uniformity. Some feel secure, others feel pressured into non-existence, and both are there, both sides. These are extreme sides, extreme description of this, and the best we and they are meant to save each other. They are necessary if they are kept in balance, these poles, and what needs to be there is and helpful communication that can bring out points. I'm now looking at the time. No, we are not yet through. Perhaps we should now open the forum for devotees to ask questions, and then both of us will answer. Some questions are obviously for our Maharaj, because I mean, when it comes specific to a subject where he is more versed, then. But we might comment on. Maharaj might ask answer something, and if I see there's something of value, I might add. So in this way, we will continue with a conversation style or with a communication style between us. But now it's the time for you to ask
good to ask questions, perhaps focused on what you have heard, but everything is okay. I see Premamurti's hand is up. We will have a... Wow, it's really interesting, no? Do you appreciate? Well, how can you say no? but I see many of you are participating. So good. Where is the microphone? But yes, you have.
I really want to thank you, both of you, for being there, because both of you are like having such amazing, also different kind of worldviews, approaching it from different sides. And this topic is such a relevance in the today's ISKCON and all the devotees. So I'm really grateful that I stayed this extra day just to participate in this. And I have this burning question in my mind, because I'm always thinking how to help also devotees, but especially also newcomers in other movement. And I also appreciate both of those, I would say, worldviews of more conservative or more liberal. And what I perceive in my spiritual life when I was there observing what was happening in different areas of Croatia, split in my beginning and then other, is that in some places those two were like really extreme. Like liberals were like really, I would say it like this, liberals, liberties. But there was two extreme polarities that were not able to cooperate together. And because of that, a lot of, I may say, violence to the people who were there were made, that they were not being able to, how to say, come together in one big family. So my question is always, how is it possible? Because my idea is that they should bend somehow towards each other. And because I see the value of both of those approaches in the different stages of persons' advancement in Krishna consciousness, how is it possible to bend? How is it possible, not just good communication, but I may say my idea also, but see from your side, that if cooperation can be there, because especially liberals are great for attracting and assisting people to gain this initial faith. And then
conservatives to conserve.
To train and in some aspects to become,
we had an educational initiative. It was called Vaishnava Training and Education, and it was Akandadi Prabhu, an older Prabhupada disciples and temple president of the Bhaktivedanta Manor, who raised this initiative. Our idea was we need to train our devotees in shastras, in scriptures, and also in thinking, really. So we had, we went to universities, this Vaishnava training and education, and we were trained by one person. His name was Sefton Davis, a father-in-law of Shonaka Rishi, the educator in the Oxford Center. And this Sefton Davis was a trainer who trained the professors at universities. So he was called in to train us senior devotees in so that we would be able to train or put up different training programs in ISKCON. And it was, I think, very successful. We created an awareness that seminars which concentrate on educational issues, Bhakti Shastra, etc., are important, and a few things started from there. Krishna Chaitra Maharaj was a member of this, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj, devotees, Shonaka Rishi, many devotees from England and America, Burijan Prabhu was called, and so on. And yes, during that time, we also noticed these two camps, so to say, creative people and conservative people. And
I know it. We discussed it then very at length and came to the same conclusion as Maharaj. They need each other. Both sides need each other. It's not one against the other and who will win and so on. No, they should learn to communicate. Now, this is not so easy to bring people with various opinions and views and perspectives on the table and have a meaningful discussion. It was never easy in human society, and it continues to be a challenge everywhere, you know, in all fields of politics and so on, because so often both sides, not noticing that they need each other, will start to attack each other, then nothing can grow there. The earth is burnt, so to say, of communication, and you cannot plant anything on burnt earth. Srila Prabhupada, he had a method. He said, no revolution, what is it? There is a famous wording of Prabhupada, no this, no discussions, no this, this. You should all come together and do kirtan. that was his idea. So, but then it will also start that the liberals will sing very creative kirtans, and the conservatives will run out.
One tune.
Yeah, in that one tune only, you know. And they will Prabhupada tune, and they will run out, or you know, and then there will be something going on. I'm very active in kirtan melas, and I know this, you know. And is it Rama, or is it then if someone thinks Ramo, war has happened on this. So Prabhupada's idea was to kirtan, if you ask me, it takes maturity, and that takes time for both for people to be able to sit together with very different worldviews in which they are heavily invested even. And it may need a mediator in between, you know. Maybe you have something further to add to this. I don't know very much what to do. I'm struggling myself.
I'm laughing because over the years I would see, okay, Satchinandana Swami is doing this, and I'm thinking, uh-oh. Now we'll have to deal with. I could. One thing about knowledge or knowing is it puts things in perspective. And so, at least for me, when I have noticed that you have two forces that are balancing each other, and that's how it's meant to be, like God created it, I came to terms with it. So I didn't have issues with people being one or the other. Yeah. And also another thing I learned is that because that's natural, that means we don't have to be together. Like, you do the way you want to do it, and let her do it the way she wants to do it, and you can continue to be friends. That's fine. I mean, anyways, we need projects and centers and unlimitedly. Why not? And then, you know, let the best have the best results. That's my take on it. And I don't think there's any good in forcing people to be intimately together. Like, yeah, we're all one family, we're all brothers and sisters of the same Father, the God. But you're not going to be close and intimate with everyone. That, I think that's just not realistic.
Yeah. I think that's a very mature understanding that, yes, differences will appear. They are good. They need each other, and let them, let there be cabbage, let there be paradiso, let there be oranges, let there be eggplants, and so on and so forth. Yes.
Can I just maybe share, because I'm really strongly thinking about this, so I would like to see your insights in one maybe solution, not a solution, but just idea of that. I would just like to see your feedback on that. Because I see that this, what Maharaj said, this centralization produced a lot of chaos in Croatia particularly, and two times it happened, that I was there. But my question is, I was always looking at this distance between those two poles, this liberal and conservative, is actually disabling them to be able to cooperate. So is it a solution that willingly both of those can should be educated or whatever, like brought to the awareness of all of these things that you were saying, the differences and the necessity of all of that, and that they should intentionally try to reduce that distance in their presentation. So they could help people also to cross that bridge. That bridge is smaller.
Yeah.
So that less of the...
Very, very briefly, I will answer this. When we had this Vaishnava training and education, and there was this, we recognized that this would be very good to reduce the distance between these positions by discussions. Braj Bihari, who was is still in a high position of ISKCON mediation and so on, he gave a lecture, pakoras and chapatis. And what?
Pakoras and pizzas.
Pakoras and pizzas was called. Yes. Pakoras for one was the conservative Wallace, and the pizza was the liberal. liberal Wallace. So both are good, and they should discuss. Yes, this is the best, and if there's anything to do, well, I think it's up to the individuals to grow into the ability to live with differences. Spirituality means to integrate also differences. Religions can't do that. They are threatened by differences and often not able to discuss. I would like to, obviously we could spend a lot of time here on this subject matter. I don't think that we here in Serbia will solve everything. It's a long thing, but I think we are very grateful for this part of the discussion. It kept us thinking. In the interest of time, I would like to perhaps now say if there are any final messages which either of us wants to give to the devotees, something to take away. I see you have some notes. I can intuit that there is something of value for this forum in there. I also have something to say, and then we need to... No, we don't need. Our Maharaj could stay here. I need to leave you, unfortunately, at exactly 12 minutes. But if you all feel it should go on, or if we feel so on, but I would like to now say, are there any last messages which you would like to give to our devotees
and then we focus on that.
Sure, I'll take 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not sure how selfless of a invitation this is, but I'd like to invite everyone to think of different ways you could contribute to our mission. And our mission is really a fun one, and I think it's a really good one. I think Krishna consciousness has a beautiful message. The essence of our message is universal. I mean, there's no person we could not give it to. And I invite everyone to really think how to allocate some of your time, some of your other forms of energy, like money or whatever you have, but your thoughts, your ideas, to how to contribute to this mission. And you don't have to be yourself, like plug in somewhere. That'd be my invitation.
Thank you. So we can find our place in this mission, either taking initiative on our own, or we can, you speak, I can see you were in America, or we can plug in or cooperate with others and so on. Yes, I just wanted to say something which I have observed over the summer camp. I noticed the atmosphere that was created and how our devotees began to blossom and grow. And our Madhva Muni had, I was hesitant, not because I don't like South Europe, I was hesitant because I'm really trying to create something wonderful, and it takes a lot of time. One step is to finish this book, this outreach book, and so on. So I was hesitant, and Madhva Muni very kindly and with great insistence asked me to come and made this point that the effect on for the devotees is very good. It helps them and so on. And I must say I saw this. I saw many devotees changing. I had discussed with some devotees maybe on the second day, and I discussed with them on the last day, and there was a real difference in terms of conviction and commitment also. So that I also saw yesterday, and I shared Madhva Muni's hesitancy. I don't know if it's good for the people of Novi Sad if we come there like the Vikings came from Norway into England, you know, and just insisted on their lifestyle and so on. I was not 100% sure, but when I saw many nice people just, you know, making with their handies videos to share with so many others, I think we had our Novi Sad Kirtan went all over Serbia and beyond because of the videos that were taken. And when I saw this little boy, I somehow very much appreciate, I'm intrigued by the existence of gypsies. And when I saw this little gypsy boy, first I thought, let me have my hand on my because of prejudice, you know, on my wristwatch. I have it already since 30 years, you know, and so on. But then I let go and saw how he became so inspired. Did you notice how the innocence streamed from his life, his face, you know, that pure joy and purity? It was very, very intriguing. And I saw also the young people. Remember that
That boy, he had a t-shirt, it says Slayer. Slayer is like an exterminator. And his girlfriend went to the Mataji side and danced there. And I saw this, I thought, wow, it works. The formula works. This formula which Srila Prabhupada gave, you just go and sing the holy name. That's what he did when he started our movement. He went under a tree in New York and sang the holy names there. So it works. So I think Krishna consciousness works. That I could see both with the devotees, whom I consider my most difficult audience, because they are set often in their own ways, so we have to shake them a little and move them forward. And also for the people who are just coming without any preconceived notion to us. It works, it really works. And the question is, I liked Maharaj's concluding message, we all need to find our place in it. And I believe that discussion, which I found very educative, when you told me how the two people thrive in different ways, when you told that, you must know there is a place for you. Maybe you have not looked strong enough, but there is a place where you can both contribute and become realized. So in one word is look around, find your place, and start living in Krishna consciousness. Good. May I secretly look now at the wristwatch? I think after this we have found an end. Now the question is, Madhva Muni, Prabhu, you should see, should we end here, or Maharaj, should we end here, or should I just, should I go on my own? I think concluding messages are a good way to end something.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Maharaj might be here, maybe you can, if you wish, you could sit here and some more devotees could come to you and speak to you, maybe 50 minutes or so, as you wish. Good. So let us hear Madhva Muni, but something at the end. My dear devotees, my dear everyone, if Madhva Muni would not said, we have to do this summer camp, it would not happen. Really, it takes a lot, even to find these elephant cushions and bring them, all these details, you can't imagine. Toilet paper, and speakers, and swamis, everything is in that list which one has to think about. Lost children who get lost. I think yesterday you looked for children when I phoned you, or devotees, or something was lost.
Two beautiful children from Split.
Yes, we're lost. Yes, good. So let us, ladies and gentlemen, devotees, let us really affectionately, I don't know how to say, go Premanandi. That was for you.
He must do something before we go.
Yeah, okay.
30 seconds. But Bulasha Prabhu, you tell?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
There is one secret. The Shastras, they are revealed, but they secret us.
Because we don't read.
Or we don't listen to anything. So, today is the 24th of June, and it's Madhva Muni's birthday.
Wow! Bravo!
So it's a
happens that when this 4th June is like an auspicious day to get ready. And I just wanted to say a little bit about Narada Muni. I mean, you all know him. very specific.
Nice things.
Yes, one of the qualities of Narada Muni Prabhu is that he, although he is brightly intelligent, and suffers from us who are less intelligent than him. Severely suffers. Sometimes the suffering is severe. He gets headache. He accepts us and loves us all as we are. And that's one of his greatest qualities. And I wanted to thank him for all that he does. It's not just that what he does, like you have said, but from the circumstances that he goes into this, you know, which are like, everybody will say, I don't have time, I really don't have time. And he crosses his
limitations
by far, you know, like there is no speak of comfort zone or something like this. So please bless him to find his
time.
Balance.
Nothing to be added, just something interesting detail. The last day of the 20th camp, this small anniversary, it is also Narada Muni's 50th birthday. So, okay, Mama, please.
Yeah, from today I am much wiser because I'm joining the club of 50. Yesterday I was not so bright as now. I really want to thank to my friends and my spiritual friends and guides for helping me and to thank all of you for plugging in, as Maharaj said in American English. I just want to say that I'm humbled and amazed by the wonderful qualities that I'm seeing here, and I was very much convinced that I'm the one who is crossing the comfort zones for far, but I'm by far defeated by the champions of crossing the border of comfort zone, and that's very inspiring. And what is also inspiring, I believe firmly that the making order and structuring our movement is not the best possible way to manage it. And if one day I become GBC, I will present this as the argument. I wish that. Maybe. And just like thinking like, oh, this would be the perfect example how you can create a Vaishnava society or village, or even for this short time, where there is a not firm strategy or groups or organ. I mean, it's full of opportunities for each one of us to plug in, to jump in. And when I see how devotees year after year are jumping in, and it's like it comes without speak. I mean, we used to have plans. I have 10 notebooks with who will do this. Well, this year it was like we didn't even have a meeting. I mean, there are some basic guidelines. Yeah, but everything is functioning nicely, and that's that's where I see your bhakti, the fruits of your bhakti, and
then
the strength of your determination to serve Krishna. I don't want to to prolong your comfort zone. I mean, not prolong time zone. So thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Sachinanda Maharaj, for
despite everything, coming here, and we hope to have you again and again. And please, one great Hare Bol for Sachin Mahadev. I heard that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was asked about the highest service, something, I'm not a shastra man, and he was telling about the service that was rendered to gopis and Srimati Radharani on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. They were out of Vrindavan, they were out of their dham, and it was very awkward to all of them to be there to see the Lord Krishna. So service rendered to them at that moment was valued, like it was very, very much needed by Srimati Radharani. So today is a day when each service is very, very needed. not that I'm forcing it, it's just like it will come. It's just like it's a heartbreaking moment. Devotees are leaving. It really affects all of us who are staying. And everyone has to pack, and this huge thing also has to pack. So it's just like we value all of you who will just stay extra minutes or 108 minutes just to help us. This will be very, very much valued by us. And we are grateful that all those who are doing all previous years are doing this. Okay.